10. They'd been driving for almost an hour. Harry had stayed off the highways. For the past 30 minutes, they'd been on a two-lane road which seemed to shift between residential areas and long stretches of plains or almost desert. If Eli's reading of the sun was correct, they were heading more or less northeast. It occurred to him he'd seen more types of terrain in the past week than he'd seen in the previous 29 years of his life. Cars zoomed up and swerved around them. Shiny sports cars, pickups, a U-Haul, minivans, even one big 16-wheeler. Harry seemed determined not to go over 65. Once Eli got used to reading the cylindrical speedometer, he realized how steady she'd kept their speed once they were out of Pasadena. "So," he said. She glanced at him. She'd been giving him quick looks every few minutes, usually as she looked over her shoulder. Her expression shifted between sad and aggravated. She hadn't said much. When she did, it was just short, simple commands. Stop crowding her. A challenge on the tiny bench that made up the rumble seat. Brace for a turn. Adjust one of the mirrors. Eli knew a 1929 Model A shouldn't have side mirrors. Yet another upgrade. He wondered how many others the car had. "So," he said again, "is this all about the treasure hunt?" Harry sighed. "In a manner of speaking, yes." "The guys with the faceless men." A dozen questions raced onto his tongue and tripped over one another. A dozen more pushed their way to the front of his mind.
"That's what everyone calls them," she said when nothing else came. "It's what they've always been called."
"Always?" She nodded.
"Since the country was first founded."
Three new questions shoved themselves into his forebrain and knocked a random one off his tongue. "What did you mean about their range?" She reached up and tugged the point of her tricorn away from him, just an inch.
"They're certain of everything within about 300 feet. Some of them a little more, some a little less."
"What do you mean, certain?"
"Are you wearing stockings right now, Mr. Teague?"
"What?"
"Stockings. Socks."
"Yeah," he said with a confused nod. She glanced at him, her eyes flitting away from the road.
"You didn't check."
"Yeah, but I know I am."
"You're certain?"
she said with another nod.
"Just as you could be certain walking through a dark room you're familiar with. Just as they are. It's how they move. How they drive."
Her fingers flexed on the steering wheel.
"How they aim."
"So it's some kind of ESP? Telepathy or something?" She shook her head.
"It's just certainty."
"But what is that?" Harry glanced in the tiny side mirror and raised two fingers off the steering wheel, silencing him. Another engine rumbled up behind them. Eli waited to see the car rush past them, but it hung back. He looked over his shoulder through the oval rear window. A police cruiser followed a few car lengths behind them, a Dodge Charger with an aggressive-looking push bumper. It settled in and matched speeds with them. The morning sun splashed across the windshield and hid the officer, or officers.
"Consarn it,"
muttered Harry.
"It might not mean anything,"
Eli said. "Maybe he's just checking out the car."
"That's what worries me."
Eli tried to picture the Model A from behind as the officers would see it. A blank spot formed in the image.
"Does your car have license plates?"
Her chin went up once, then back down.
"Yes."
"Are they up to date?"
"Not precisely as such, no."
Eli fought the urge to glance back at the cruiser again.
"How out of date are they?"
Harry's fingers danced on the steering wheel as if she was counting. She glanced at the side mirror again.
7 decades, maybe 8?
7 decades? Red light flashed in the side mirror and the cruiser's sirens let out a squawk. Harry snarled.
"Pull the car over,"
a voice echoed behind them.
"Hang on," she said. "I'm going to make a run for it."
"What?"
"If we can find a slick spot, we can lose him. It'll be tough out here, but if we can make it to the next town..."
He grabbed her arm. "Why are we running? He'll give you a warning or a ticket, and then we'll be gone anyway."
"The faceless men sometimes use local law enforcement,"
she snapped, shaking him off.
"The police could have orders to arrest us on sight."
"They might not. They might just be..."
The siren squawked again. "Pull the car over now."
Harry glanced from Eli to the mirror. The Model A's engine rumbled. Eli braced his feet. The cruiser lunged up alongside them. The lights on the roof flashed in their eyes.
Now! Shouted the officer through the PA system. Eli could see the figure in the passenger seat pointing emphatically at the highway's shoulder. Harry reached for the gear shift, but Eli touched her arm again. They'll run us off the road, he said. The cruiser's passenger wheels crossed the line. Its doors were inches from the Model A. The officer in the passenger seat pointed at the shoulder again. She glared at Eli, grumbled something he couldn't hear over the competing engines, and took her foot off the gas. The car slowed. The cruiser stayed alongside them until Harry angled the car into the dirt and gravel on the side of the road. It dropped back at the last moment to pull in right behind them. Doors opened. Feet crunched in the gravel. Eli glanced back and saw two officers with their hands on their guns, but neither of them had drawn. He looked at Harry and saw her feet poised over the pedals.
Just so you know, she said through gritted teeth, there's a good chance we're about to die.
What?
Try to act casual, Mr. Teague. What do you mean, die?
The policeman walked forward and split to come up on either side of the car. The one by Harry stood tall enough that the Model A's roof hid his eyes and hat. Eli's was thick and heavy with a name tag that read, Foster.
Kill the engine, said the one by Harry. With one hand, he removed his sunglasses and hung them on his shirt pocket.
Harry glanced at Eli and pasted on a smile.
Of course, officer.
She reached out, flicked two switches, and the car's engine coughed itself to sleep.
Keys, he said with a nod at the steering column.
There are no keys in a Model T, officer,
she lied sweetly, moving her hands away from the column.
If I want to start it again, I'll need to get out and turn the crank from the magneto.
She gestured at the front of the car. The officer looked out at the hood, studied the small dashboard, and weighed the information for a moment.
License and registration, he said.
Not a question, just a simple command. Foster shifted next to Eli's door. The posture felt familiar from assorted run-ins with Zeke over the years. Two parts arrogance, one part excitement that he might get to pull his weapon. Eli hoped he was imagining it. Harry looked up at him.
Is there a problem?
The officer looked at her, then turned his head to look at the space behind the bench.
Why didn't you pull over when we instructed you to?
Harry took in a breath.
Well, you see...
That was my fault, officer, interrupted Eli. He looked over and bent his head to make easy eye contact. We're a little punchy from driving. I bet her she could outrun your charger for a mile. The officer bent slightly to meet Eli's eyes.
That's extremely stupid. When an officer gives you a command, you do as he says.
I know, said Eli. I realized that pretty quick.
Not quick enough, said Foster with a snort. I hope the bet was worth it, said the other officer.
He shifted and the glare vanished from his name tag for a moment. Eli saw what looked like Lasney written on the little tile. Eli looked at Harry with what he hoped was a proper mix of regret and naughtiness.
It would have been.
Foster snorted again. Lasney's hand came off his pistol and he turned his attention back to Harry.
License and registration, ma'am.
Harry adjusted herself and tried to reach inside her coat and around to her back pockets. Eli pictured her pulling out one of her own pistols and shooting the policeman point blank. The officer must have thought of it too because he tensed and set his hand back on his pistol. But her hand came back empty and moved to reach into the coat at chest height. She blinked twice.
Oh,
she said.
Oh my.
Lasney stared down at her. She switched hands and reached for the other side of the coat. Her eyes flitted to Eli.
Dearest, she said, have you seen my billfold?
Your wallet? You don't have it?
No, I can't find it anywhere.
It was a good performance, better than his. She patted herself down again. It was on the nightstand at the motel, said Eli. Her eyes widened. She looked back out at Lasney.
My apologies, officer,
she said.
I believe I've left it behind at the motel.
Lasney's mouth was a flat line.
Registration?
Also in my billfold. Wallet.
You keep your car registration in your wallet?
Foster didn't bother to hide the sneer in his voice. Lasney shot him a look that confirmed Eli's suspicions about the other officer.
It's a classic,
said Harry. She reached out to pat the small dash and then gestured at all the open space between Eli's legs and the windshield.
There's no glove compartment.
Lasney blew some air out of his nose. And if I was to ask for proof of insurance, ma'am?
She put up her hands and shrugged. Also in the wallet. I'm so sorry.
The officer leaned back on his heels. The flat line of his mouth sank into a frown.
He glanced at Eli.
What about you?
Sorry?
Got any ID? Or'd you leave your wallet at the hotel, too?
Harry caught Eli's eye just before he reached for his back pocket.
Sorry, no, he said. I don't bring my license when she drives.
That's so.
To be honest, said Eli, I can't even drive this thing. It's her baby.
What's with the Civil War outfit?
Asked Foster. Eli stopped himself from rolling his eyes.
Revolutionary War, actually, he said.
So what's with it?
Car shows, said Eli. That's where we're going. Lots of people dress up to go with their car.
How's a Revolutionary War outfit go with a Model T?
Asked Lasney.
I just like the outfit, Harry said. Besides, frock coats are always fashionable.
Lasney blew more air out of his nose. His trigger finger slid down and tapped the side of his leg just in front of his holster.
Where are you headed?
Like I said, Eli answered, a car show.
Where?
Las Vegas, he said, hoping they were aimed somewhat at Las Vegas.
But first we'll have to double back to get my wallet, said Harry. We're lucky you stopped us, officer. We might have been stranded in Las Vegas with no money and no identification.
Lasney raised his head to look over the car at Foster. Eli guessed they were mouthing words to each other. Harry caught Eli's eye and gave a small shake of her head. Lasney tapped the Model A's roof twice.
Wait here, he said to them. Don't even think about starting the car, added Foster.
As I said before,
Harry chimed,
I can't start it without getting out to turn the crank.
The officer grunted. The two men took a few steps back behind the car and started talking. Eli leaned in to whisper, but Harry held up a finger. She turned her head, aiming her ear back, her eyes closed. Eli glanced at the two officers through the rear window and tried to catch their words.
Old thing stinks, said Lasney.
Foster muttered something Eli half heard, half lip-read as, it's Zen. Lasney said something about probable cause and warrants. Foster shook his head again and spoke loud and clear.
They match the description.
Harry's eyes snapped open. She flicked two switches on the dashboard. The engine burped once and turned over.
Hey,
shouted Lasney. Eli glanced back as Harry floored it. The officer was in mid-stride toward them. Foster already had his pistol out and was moving to get a clear shot. The Model A lunged forward. The first gunshot missed, but Eli shrank down as the second one thunked into the car. A low gurgle came from the back.
Damnation, swore Harry. He's hit the reserve.
Then they were over a rise and out of sight. She worked the gears again and the Model A accelerated even more. Eli guessed they were close to top speed. She glanced at him crouching in the leg space.
While you're down there, Mr. Teague, she said, there's a small package in the door's side panel you could grab. Brown paper, red string.
He blinked and twisted around. What he thought was just a mass of crumpled paper for insulation turned out to be four or five small parcels with color-coded string. There were two with red string, each the size of a hardcover book.
Does it matter which one?
Harry glanced in the side mirror and shook her head.
Quickly, please.
The siren grew loud behind them. He pulled the packet free of the door and sat up. It shifted and bent in his hands as if loose chain links filled the paper bundle or a few of the cast-iron bar puzzles that showed up now and then at the tavern across from the bank.
What do I do with it?
Throw it up on the roof.
What?
He looked over his shoulder. The police cruiser was 200 yards away, tops and gaining fast.
Throw it onto the roof.
He reached up through the window with the package, balancing it on one hand. The wind whipped at his sleeve. The bag shifted on his fingers. She slapped his leg.
Throw it!
Eli tried to judge speed and height and then heaved the parcel into the air. It vanished from sight for an instant, and then he saw it through the back window tumbling away behind them.
Damn it! Perfect, said Harry.
The packet exploded on the pavement, already a good 30 feet behind them. Eli saw what looked like black crosses bounce and tumble on the road. Sunlight glinted on some of them. Then the Charger ran over them and its front tires exploded. A moment later, the driver's side sagged in the back. The rims chewed through the rubber rags and sparked off the highway. Lasney or Foster, whoever was behind the wheel, steered into the slide like a pro. The police car crossed the far lane and came to a halt on the opposite shoulder, in a cloud of dirt and dust. And then, the Model A was over a rise and the police vanished from sight. Eli settled back onto the bench and took a deep breath.
Oh, fuck.
Nicely done, Harry said.
What was that thing?
The package?
Just a bag of 16-penny nails. A blacksmith bent them all at right angles and a shipbuilder welded parts of them into stars so they'd land with a point up.
There's a word for those, Eli said. Those spike things that blow out tires.
She nodded.
There is. I've forgotten it.
Me too,
said Eli. He looked over his shoulder.
Why didn't we use them before?
Before?
When the faceless men were chasing us.
Harry snorted.
There'd be no point. They'd just dodge them.
You can't dodge 100 spikes on the road, not in a car.
They have certainty, Mr. Teague. You would be truly amazed at what it lets them do.
He shook his head and glanced back again as the Model A crested another low slope. He caught a glimpse of the distant police car and a stick figure moving around it.
We should probably get off the road, maybe lay low for a while. They're probably on the radio right now setting up a roadblock or something.
He waited for a reaction.
It means they can talk to other officers who are a long distance.
I know what a radio is, Mr. Teague.
He bit back his first response.
Of course you do. Sorry.
She glanced at him.
They can't tell other cars about us because it would attract attention. I'd wager they were told to avoid attention.
She dipped her head back over her shoulder.
One of them probably walked in, flashed his badge, and just gave instructions to whoever was on duty.
One of them, Eli repeated.
By which you mean?
You know who I mean.
He sucked another deep breath in between his teeth.
What the hell are they?
Harry adjusted her fingers on the steering wheel. An orange light flickered twice on the dashboard and then lit up. Just below it, a small gauge bobbed up and down, back and forth between 1/4 and 0. It settled closer to 0.
I'll need fuel soon, she said.
She glanced at Eli.
Okay, he said. Do you need me to chip in or something?
No.
Do you need gasoline in the car to tell me about the faceless men?
The car doesn't run on gasoline.
That's not really an answer.
She bit back a sigh.
It's not a question that offers simple answers, Mr. Teague.
Maybe a quick summary?
She glanced at him.
It's complicated.
He waved at the freeway ahead of them.
We've got time to kill.
Very complicated.
Eli snorted. She looked ahead.
Let me find a safe place to refuel, she said, and I'll tell you what I know.